Amen. You may be seated. So glad you're here today. Last week, Heather and I and Taylor and Nick and kids were in Alabama celebrating Heather's granddad's 90th birthday, which was awesome. And last Sunday morning, we went to church with him, and Heather's dad preached that morning there in Alabama. So we got up, and I watched the early service here online, which Truett did an amazing job, didn't he? I'm so grateful for him and our church. It was just, it was kind of one of those moments that was a little bit surreal, because here we were in Alabama, and here was Heather's dad preaching, the man who mentored me. And I was listening. I was sitting back under him again listening, and I knew back here at home, Truett was preaching as well, to see, you know, three generations and God faithful working. It was just a little bit moving to realize that and see God's faithfulness over the generations as well. We are in our series, Trust Jesus, and you know, something happened to us on the way to Alabama. It was, again, Heather and I, Taylor and Nick and their kids, and we're driving from Little Rock up into what will be Memphis and then on over to Florence, Alabama, real northern tip of Alabama. And last week was when the hurricane was making its way up from the coast and was, it was crossing Arkansas just as we were crossing Arkansas. And so just rain, heavy rain, just relentless rain. And we're going down I-40 toward Memphis, and all of a sudden it's brake lights, slow down, stop. It's not a big highway. It's two lane on our side, two lane on their side. And we don't move. 5 minutes pass, 20 minutes pass, 30 minutes pass, and we're not moving at all. You can tell. I mean, it's not even like inch up a little bit every 5 minutes. This is just, we're just settled. Surrounded by 18-wheelers, you're just there. You're not getting out. You can't move. You can't get off the highway. You can't go anywhere. The shoulder's not wide enough. It wouldn't help if you went back anyway. It's miles back before there's an exit. You sure can't go forward. We sat there. I'm thankful Nick had gotten a fresh tank of gas, because 3 hours we sat there, not moving at all. And two kids who were very good, but they climbed over every seat and possible place there was, you know. And so did we for 3 hours, you know, like, oh, Lord. But it was, we were fine. It was great. It just reminded me, though, that no one likes to be stuck. And boy, we were stuck. I mean, we couldn't leave that spot. We were just at the mercy of the traffic in front of us. We eventually realized that because we could see, you know, 18-wheeler being pulled away by a wrecker, and then tragedy had happened on the highway. It was terrible, sad. But it reminded me that it's frustrating when we get stuck. And sometimes in life, even in faith, we can get stuck. Things happen, and we find ourselves not moving, not progressing. And God has made us to move forward in our faith. You were saved, and the Bible says that when we're saved, we are born again. It's intentional that Jesus used language to describe an infant, because that's what we are when we are born again. We are a spiritual infant. And we are alive, but we need to grow. And the Bible says that he begins a work in us that is meant to be continuous, increasing our faith, increasing our understanding, increasing our awareness of who we are in Christ and who he is in us and what he has for us. It's supposed to be a continuum that doesn't stop. You and I were not made for faith stuck. Stagnancy, staleness. And it breaks my heart when I hear the story of a believer who has nothing fresh. There's no movement in their life, their faith. There's no awareness of God's doing this new thing in me. God's showing me this new thing. I've learned this. I'm changing in this way. Because we are, according to the scripture, being conformed to the image of the Son. God is at work shaping and conforming. He is introducing events into our life to cause us to change. But it requires our participation in the process. It requires us submitting and doing the one thing that we need most to do: trust Jesus. Because when you walk into new spaces and have to do new things and change your past and change the way you thought and change how you look at the future and change the way you see God, any amount of change requires leaving where you've been and walking into something brand new. And that right there, just that movement, requires trust. Trust that what is ahead is greater than what's behind. And we were never meant to be stuck in our faith, stagnant in our faith, stale in our faith. So today, we're going to talk about what it means to trust Jesus and move forward in our faith. And we've been doing this by following a story from the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. If you want to kind of pre-turn there, go ahead. The book of Exodus, if you're using a Bible app, if you're using a paper Bible, either one. We've been following the children of Israel because what has happened is they have been set free from being slaves as a nation in Egypt. An entire group of people, 2 million strong plus, in Egypt as a slave class. And they cried out to the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. And he sent a deliverer in Moses. And God did miracles through Moses. And Pharaoh said, "Get on out of here with all that stuff." And they left. We looked at a map. I'll show you this on screen just so you can kind of familiarize yourself. We looked at this map. You see Egypt in the top corner up there. And you see that yellow path, which many believe this is the path they would have taken as they left. And by the way, they're not taking Uber. They're not on a, you know, Southwest Airlines flight or anything. They're just walking. And they're driving this path, and they come down around the by the Red Sea there. And we've zoomed up in on that space, and we've looked at this. We looked at the scripture that described us in Exodus 14, that they passed by Migdol and the sea, which was a military outpost where they could communicate back to Egypt, most likely by some type of pigeon sending messages back. And they send message back to Pharaoh that say, the children of Israel are down here. And they come around that end, and God tells them to go to Etham, as you might pronounce it using the Hebrew. And God tells them to turn there and camp at Pihahiroth. And there they camp. God led them here. God led them by a pillar of fire at night and by a pillar of cloud during the day. It was clear. It was obvious that God had led them there to that spot. But when you look at what this spot is, it looks like a very difficult spot, because to the north of them was the wilderness, the Bible says, and they couldn't go north. It was as though there was a wall. To go back was a threat coming from Egypt. And then out on the island across was Baal-Zephon. This was the evil gods that they worshiped there, that they believed were the gods of the sea and storm. So here was this evil presence. And then to the side was the Red Sea, an impossible spot. So for all practical purposes, they are hemmed in. They're caught there. And this is why Pharaoh changed his mind and said, "I'm going after them. I'm going to get them and bring them back. We need them as a slave class in our land." And the Bible says that they come out of Egypt, Pharaoh and all of his horsemen and his finest chariots, and they swoop around the end for an attack. And so here are God's people in a very difficult situation. As we've seen up to this point, we've seen that they were terrified in this moment because they saw what was happening. And they thought, "How in the world are we going to get out of this spot? Because it looks like our end is coming." And the Bible tells us that they were terrified, they were filled with fear, and they began to complain. They began to cry out to Moses. Can you imagine 2 million people complaining about you? You're the one. You led us here. It's your fault. You did this to us. The Bible says that it got so bad that they began to say, we should have never left. In fact, in verse 12 of chapter 14, it says this, that they said to Moses, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. In effect, what they were saying is, it would have been better for us to have stayed where we were than to move forward to where we are. It would have been better for us to go back and be slaves than to move forward and trust God. But this is what fear and panic will do. It will not help you think clearly. So today, we are in Exodus 14, verses 15 and 16. As we hear what happens next. You know, it's a crazy thing that they would want to go back to Egypt. You think, are you crazy? Do you not remember what it was like there? You were slaves. You had to do what they told you to do. You couldn't express yourself, have your own freedoms. Their gods were all around you. You were a slave class. Why would you want to go back to be in that kind of bondage? But how much like us sometimes, when God says, hey, I want you to move forward and trust me this next step in your life. And we take that step and it feels uncertain. It feels awkward. It feels new. It's very different. And sometimes when we take that next step, we might think, I don't know if I like this. I think I'm going to go back to my old life. I think I'm going to go back to my old sins. I think I'm going to go back to my old ways of thinking. I think I'm going to go back to my old dependencies. I think I'm going to go back to my old addictions. This is what fear and panic will do. Instead of trusting God in this next step, it's tempting to want to turn around and go back. And that's not the thing to do. What's needed is instead to take the next step. Our message title for today, it's time to take the step. For every one of us, we are at places in our life where God is moving in us. I don't have to know your story. I don't have to have read your email. I don't have to talk to one of your friends to know that God is calling you to some new places in your life. And they're challenging, and they're difficult, and you're struggling to take the step. That's every one of us, because God is moving in us. God has promised that he is conforming us to the image of his son, and that's going to mean movement in our life. That's what it ought to mean. It should never mean stale. It should never mean stagnant. It should be movement, and that movement is going to require the one thing you need the most, trust. And trust always requires taking the step. You can't sit still and just claim to be trusting God. Trust is always moving forward. Proverbs tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Path and trust, they always go together. You can't stay where you are and claim to be trusting. So today, we pick up where God begins to talk to Moses. Here's the guy who's dealing with 2 million people complaining, who's dealing with the weight of that. And here's what the Bible tells us happens next in verse 15. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Now, this might be one of the most interesting, fascinating, and unusual verses in this whole story. Because here is God saying, in effect, to Moses, Moses, I hear you. You keep calling out to me. You keep wanting to pray about this some more. Moses, why do you keep crying to me? I want you to tell them to get ready to forward. There's a time to pray and there's a time to obey. There's a time to keep praying about it, and there's a time to just take the step that God's told you to step. In fact, you don't have to keep praying about something that he's already told you to do. You just need to do what he's already called you to do. For example, you don't have to pray about, I wonder if I should read my Bible. You don't need to pray about that. You do. You don't have to pray about, I'm wondering if I should obey God in this situation. You don't need to pray about that. You don't need to pray about, you know, I'm just wondering if I really need to deny my flesh on this deal. Yes. You don't need to pray about, you know, I'm praying about breaking some generational patterns in my family. You don't need to pray about that. You need to act on that. You don't need to pray about whether or not you should break an addiction, whether or not you should have self-control, whether or not you should forgive the person who hurt you, whether or not you should honor God on your job, whether or not if you should be active in a church, whether or not you should follow Jesus, whether or not you should be baptized, whether or not you should give a tithe, whether or not you should lay down your life for a friend, whether or not you should move forward in your faith, whether or not you should talk about your faith in your family, whether or not you should pray with your spouse in your marriage, whether or not you should talk about your faith with those you work with, whether or not you should pray with friends, whether or not you should live out your faith, whether or not you should humble yourself, whether or not you should admit you were wrong. You don't need to pray about any of those things. You need to do those things. Why are you crying out to me about that? Just take the step, God says to Moses. It's interesting, the word here, go forward. It's a word that means to pull up your tent stakes. You've been camped out here. Now it's time to pull up the stakes. Now it's time to pack your things. Now it's time to move forward. Now it's time to get back on the journey. It's time to look ahead. It's time to trust God. It's time to take the step. Our first big point this morning is this. God led you to where you are to move you to where you haven't been. That's important. It's important to realize God is in the process of moving and changing you. And where you are today, I don't care how you got here. I don't care how you got to where you are. You are meant to move forward from where you are. Now let's draw some today. I hope you've got a pen and some paper. We've got some things to draw that I think will help us remember what God is saying to us today. And we're going to do this from a little bit different perspective today. We're going to do this from the perspective of as though we were standing there like the children of Israel, and we're in this moment where we are surrounded, and we are wondering, now what? Because there is where God wants to take you, the future that he has for you, the changes he wants to make in your life, the transformation of how you think, how you relate, how you see God, how you worship, your personal priorities. There's where he wants to take you, and there is where you are now. This is where you are now. This is not where God wants to leave you. He has something he wants to do in your life. He's got a process of transformation that he wants to bring into you. All of us in this room, you were not meant to stay who you are today. You are meant to grow in your faith. You are meant to have fresh stories. You are meant to see new experiences of Christ in you, in your home. But for that to happen, God will sometimes bring, God will always bring situations that are impossible. in front of us. That's not meant to scare us. It's not meant to induce panic into our life. It's meant to cause us to trust. But that's a flip the script thing for us. Because I'm afraid in our day and time, the go-to response of a new situation is panic, fear, anxiety. That is the world's response to what God is trying to do in your life. The right response for the believer is trust. We all need some impossible in our life. If this is where God wants to take you, then you're going to have some of this in the path. Every one of us needs some of this. In fact, if you don't have some of this, if you're not aware of some of this, then you've gotten comfortable where you are now. You've gotten stale. You've gotten stagnant. And God is wanting to move you forward, and he will bring impossible in your life to help bring you to that place. Let's follow the scripture in verse 16, because God's not finished talking to Moses. He says, "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." Now, if you know a little about the story of Moses, you know that he spent some time in the desert, in the wilderness. And while he was there, he became very familiar with a stick, a rod, that he would use to protect the flock, that he would use to walk with. And some 40 years he would be dependent upon this stick. You learn to lean on it after a while, depend on it after a while. And God meets him in the wilderness, and one of the first things he tells Moses, "I want you to throw that stick, that rod down, because God's going to turn that rod into a snake," if you remember the story. Then God's going to tell him to reach out and touch that or grab that snake by the tail, and he's going to turn it back into a stick. And this same stick he's going to carry with him into Egypt, and it's going to be through this that God is going to do powerful miracles before Pharaoh. It'll be in that moment that Moses once again will throw it down and it'll become a snake, and then he'll pick it back up and it'll become a rod again, and Pharaoh will be all of a sudden attentive to what's happening here. It'll be that same rod that Moses will use to touch the waters in Egypt, and they will all become like blood. It'll be the same rod that God will use in Moses' hand to touch the ground, and the land will become infested. It would become a treacherous place. Can you imagine a land being infested with lice? Lice is no fun. If you ever had children and they came home with lice, can you imagine your entire nation infested with that? It will be this same rod that God will use in Moses' hand to bring forth frogs that would infest the nation. It'll be this same rod that God will use to cause locusts to swarm across the land, because this rod became not just something that Moses leaned on, it became something powerful that God used in his hand when he surrendered it to the Lord. And here in this moment, God tells Moses, "I want you to take that rod that I've used in your life before. I want you to think back to every time that I've been faithful to you. Every time you trusted me, every time I used that, and now I want you to take that and I want you to trust me in a brand new way. I want you to hold it up over the sea, over your impossible. I want you to hold that up." You see, God will always call you to take the trust that you have had and use that trust in a new way to trust him. That trust that you had to believe when you were first saved. That trust that you had to follow him and be baptized. That trust that you had to see him work in your life when you called out to him and he heard and he answered. That trust. Take that trust, but now I want to use it in a new way in your life, God would say to Moses. Our second point today is this. God calls you to raise your trust over your impossibility. It will be like when you first believed, but Moses, now, I want you to lift this up. And I want you to lift it up over your impossible, just so we all know what this is here. Let's just keep in mind, this is the Red Sea. It's deep, it's dark, it's long, it's wide. It is literally impossible to think about crossing that. No one would have looked out and said, oh, this is going to be the way out. This is going to be the way. But I love the fact that here in this story, that God did not create a bridge over the sea. He didn't make the sea disappear. God said to Moses, I want you to take what you've trusted me with before, and I want you to trust me in a new way. I want you to lift up that rod, and I want you to lift it up over the sea. You're going to stand there, Moses, and I want you to lift that up for everyone to see that the same way that I worked before in your life, I'm going to work again, but now it's going to be an even bigger and greater way than before, as long as you will trust me. And that's what God has for each of us. That impossibility that's in your life right now, that you think, no way, no way. No way the situation is going to get any better. No way they're going to come back. No way the finances are going to improve. No way God's going to provide. No way God's going to do that. Yes, if God says it, then believe it and trust him for it. Amen? And here was God telling Moses, lift up that rod over your impossible. Face that sea. And here's what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to trust me. You see, it is completely illogical to think that a man standing by a sea could raise his arm with the stick in his hand and it make the waters part. There ain't no science on the planet that proves that. You can't trust the science in that moment. You certainly can't trust the media in that moment. You certainly can't trust the governmental powers that are coming after you in this moment. You can't trust your friends in this moment because they're going to tell you you're crazy. You may even have a hard time trusting your own understanding, but we don't walk according to our own understanding. If God said, raise a stick up over the sea, then you raise that stick up over the sea. That's trust. If God said it, I'll do it. I don't care how foolish it makes me look, I'll do it. And here's what the Bible says happened next. That God told him, when you do, the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Are you kidding me? They're going to go through this? Do you know how many thousands of feet deep this is? Do you know how long it's been here? Do you know how much water that is? Do you not see what's happening here? And God says, they will go through the midst of the sea. I'm not going to take away the sea. I'm not going to make a bridge over the sea. I'm going to make a way through the sea. Through it. Not around it. Not over it. Through it. And when you go through it, it'll be on dry ground. That would be impossible. But the very definition of a miracle is that it is impossible. And God said, Moses, if you will do what I say. By the way, Moses didn't just make this up. Hey, this will be a cool idea. I'll take that rod, I'll lift it up, see what happens. That's not faith. Faith looks at what God says, hears what God says, and acts on it. Okay? So today, I don't want you to get any harebrained ideas that you just get to make up whatever you want and claim God has it for you. Amen? But I am saying that whatever he has said in his word to us, you can stand over your impossibility with it and believe he will come through. But what he's going to do is he's going to lead you through it. That's crazy. A path through it. Through the middle of impossible. It just doesn't even seem possible. It's so far. There's so many people. There's so much to have to get through. It'll take so long. And besides, God, you said dry ground? Have you not checked the science on this, God? I mean, trust the science. Come on. You can't have dry ground where there's been a sea. Even if that sea dried up, it's not going to be dry initially. When Heather and I were still dating, I lived over on Westmoreland in Lariat Circle. And across the street was a pond. We would go fish over there sometimes, not me and Heather, me and my dad. But one night, it was late, it was dark, and we walked over there, and the pond had partially dried up. It had been one of those summers in Texas. In fact, it's a pond that back in the day here in Texas, we called those things a tank. Anybody remember calling those things tanks? Okay. Everybody, me and older, yeah. And so we walk over there, and we get around to the other side, and Heather, this is Heather, the spirit of adventure. Hey, let's run across it. It's dry right here. It's fine. It'll be fine. Favorite tagline of Heather. And I'm like, I don't know. Come on. And so we take off across this pond. And sure enough, the first part, you know, it's got big cracks and it's clump, 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 great. And I'm thinking, we're getting out into the middle of this. And over here is some water still. And the further we get out there, it starts to turn into. And the further we go, I'm like, oh no. She's still running on ahead. I'm like, we're out of the middle now. And your feet are starting to sink. I'm getting real nervous because I'm like, we're about to get into some quicksand. I'm about to just, you know, just go down and it's gonna be it. Drown in mud. Whew, I was so nervous. She just kept going and she's laughing, you know, all the way. I'm trying to laugh and not panic. And it gets better. And we make it all the way through. But my point is, when there's been water there, you don't just instantaneously get dry ground. And so here, God calls him to cross this sea that has been wet, deeply wet. My pen just started leaking everywhere. How about that? And this area all of a sudden is going to open up. And here in the midst of deep, dark waters, in the midst of what should have been just absolute mud, in the midst of this chaos, in the middle of what should have been fish and sea life, is all of a sudden, a path opens up. And on this path, as God promised, is dry ground. You might think the miracle is the fact that the sea was split. That's easy for God. But the fact that the water would dry up in that soil and there would be a dry ground underneath so that they could walk through. What was saturated becomes solid. What was the sea floor becomes a dry road. What no one saw as possible becomes their path out. What they thought could never happen, God turns into a stable place. I've just seen this story in a new way recently. Because I just love the fact that God didn't remove impossible, he made a path through impossible. I can't promise you that whatever that impossible situation in your life right now is just going to go away if you'll just believe. That's not the promise. The promise is, however, that if you'll trust God and obey Him, He will make a path through your impossible, and He will lead you through step by step, and you will see His goodness, and your foot will not fail. You will not get bogged down. You will keep moving as long as you keep trusting Him, because He will make the ground dry for you, solid for you. Our last point today. God promises to lead you through the sea when you will take the step. It's important. I mean, for all that had led them to this moment, they could have just stood there and said, wow, that's impressive. But they would have never experienced it for themselves if they hadn't taken the step. There are things that God wants to do in your life and my life. He is wanting to move you forward, to do fresh things in your life, to not leave you stuck, stale, and stagnant. And at the same time, I know He's brought you to a place of impossibility. And maybe you've been the one who has said, well, I'm just going to pray about that for a while. And you've prayed about it. And you've prayed about it. And you're still praying about it. And I just wonder if God's not saying, why do you keep crying out to me? Go forward. Take the step. My prayer this morning for all of us, me included, is that if there is a spot in your life where God is calling you to take the step, that you would do that. No longer just staying where you are now. Take the step. It may be difficult. It may be awkward. It may be the first time you've ever taken a step like that. I can promise you it will be. The more God leads us, it will always be into places of trust that you've never been before. He doesn't call you to trust Him in lesser ways than He has. He calls you to trust Him in more, greater ways than you have. It's up to us. Will we be willing to take that step? Would you bow our heads with me as we pray? Father, I thank You that You are so good to us, that You would choose to lead us forward, that You would choose to do something new in our life, that You would conform us to the very image of Your Son. And so, God, I'd ask today that we would have the kind of heart and response in our mouth and by our life that would say, I'm tired of being stuck. I'm tired of being stagnant. I'm tired of being stale. God, I've heard You. I've been dismissing You. I've not taken the step, but today I will take that step. I will take the one step that moves me forward into what You've called me to do. I'll no longer ignore it, deny it, or just keep praying about it. I will take the step so that I can move forward into all that You have for me and see You do more than I could ever imagine. God, I know that's what You have for us today. May we be the people who will hear and take the step. We pray in the powerful, confident, beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.